Welcome back to another episode of Pending Nuptials, the podcast. My name is Kate Rigby, and across from me is my sexual partner and husband, Benjamin Rigby.
I was wondering where you were going with that.
Where else would I go?
I'll allow it.
I mean, since this episode is going to be a little cantankerous, I could call you like some mean name, like my dummy of a dumb betrothed husband.
I like the first version where you sugarcoated it before
before we start all these attacks. I didn't expose my soul.
Yes, yes.
My true feelings.
Yeah.
Hi, how you doing today?
I'm good. Life is good.
Life is good. It's a little chilly, a little nippy.
Yes. Sorry, I didn't bump the heat up for the studio.
Rude.
Sorry.
Rude.
Our producer has such high demands. I did not meet them today. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you should be. Well, now you know. The talent requires it to be warm.
Yes, ma'am.
Anyways, so today we're going to talk about fighting and fighting fair and not fighting fair and boundaries within fighting, how we fight, what we fight about. So just like a really super fun topic.
Yeah, because it's inevitable with every couple.
I would hope so.
Really? Like if you're a couple that says, well, we don't fight.
Liars.
Yeah, or yeah,
big better ass liars. Or you're hiding things from each other in which you don't want to have an argument about, because you're scared you're going to get a fight about the things that you're hiding. Yeah. Did that make sense?
Yeah. Or simply put, they haven't been together long enough.
Yeah. Those were the days.
Those were the days.
That is actually a great lead into of my first question for you is, what do we fight about?
Anymore or?
What's like our average fight about?
Our average fight has usually been about money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100%.
So a quick Google search will find that most arguments are about money.
Check.
Family communication. Children.
Not yet.
Intimacy.
We don't typically fight about that.
Absolutely not. Time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which could pair well with the next one, priorities.
That's good, because this is something that I do that bothers you.
Jealousy. Definitely don't have that.
Speak for yourself.
I'm sorry, what?
What?
Religion?
No.
No. Politics? No.
No.
The past? No.
No.
Hang on. Why did you hesitate on the past?
Well, because I'm trying to think about, like what do people fight about in terms of the past? Like, things that they've done? Like, past fights and arguments?
Or maybe past relationships?
Past lovers.
Rhonda would have never treated me this way. I should have stayed with her.
Yikes. Never say that in a fight.
I know. Well, that's the only thing I can think of if it's right. The past.
Okay. Well, definitely for us, like you said, number one thing that we typically fight about is money.
Mm-hmm.
And how we spend it.
Mm-hmm.
Really how I spend it. Mm. And how I do a bad job of spending it.
You're getting better.
I'm working really hard to be better. Okay, so when we first started dating, like we just mentioned before, we didn't really have a lot of things to fight about because we hadn't really spent a lot of time together.
Yeah.
But how did we deal with arguments in the beginning of our relationship?
In the beginning of our relationship, the number one thing we argued about or had disagreements upon was Bingley's puppy phase.
Right.
Because she would destroy everything.
Right.
And unfortunately, the reason we had conflict was because there was no solution to it.
Right.
It wasn't any of our faults that she would eat my headphones.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, well, I have to deal with that.
Right. Well, and like in the beginning of our relationship, I was still trying to figure out you as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you would get frustrated about things, I typically, rather than being my communicative self, I would just kind of not say anything and just apologize profusely and just kind of like try and put a band-aid over things. And mm-hmm. I wouldn't really, and this was for all arguments that we had in the beginning. Like I just didn't want to, I guess I was worried about rocking the boat.
I see.
So I would never like stand up for myself. Not to say that you were picking on me in any way, but you know, I was just always so worried that I would say the wrong thing and that would be the death of our relationship. I wonder if that if other people can relate to that.
I'm sure they can.
Did you have any of those kinds of feelings when we would get into arguments?
No, I would never think that something that we said was going to end the relationship.
Right. Well, and maybe that too is because it has to do with maybe some of my past trauma in relationships, that if I had said something to an ex of mine that they disagreed with, that it was like it blew the confrontation out of the water.
Right.
So being in a new relationship with you, like I felt like I had to like not even test the waters. Like I wouldn't even want to be involved in an argument. Does that make sense?
I guess.
Like I was so non-confrontational that I would just kind of like a dog, like kind of roll over and expose my belly and be like, okay, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. But I think now we've kind of flipped that.
Right.
Because we don't leave it like that. Like you said, putting a Band-Aid on it. Because there are times where you go silent. And right. I don't like that.
For sure.
Because you going silent isn't a solution to anything. And I'm really trying to get to the bottom of why we're having this argument. And sometimes it's you need to be alone. And I understand that. But it's like, well, can we talk about the true seed of the problem?
Right. And for me, the reason I go silent a lot is because I'm trying to like write out in my brain what I'm going to say, mm-hmm. because I'm very strategic in what I say out loud, especially in arguments, because I want to clearly communicate how I'm feeling without being manipulative and without sounding, I want to say a neutral statement, I guess, I'm having and I wouldn't even call what we have like fights or arguments. We have discussions, mm-hmm. and some discussions are uncomfortable,
yeah.
because we're not the type who yell. Quite the opposite. And the other thing for me is a lot of the reason why I go silent is because I don't want to cry. I have got like a weird thing about crying. I hate crying in front of people. It is like, it like makes my skin crawl. I hate it. So when I'm talking about a subject that is striking a nerve with me, a lot of times I will go silent because I'm trying to like swallow that lump in my throat so that I can speak without getting emotional.
Yeah. Whereas you enjoy when I am able to let out my emotions, when I cry.
That is very interesting. I've never thought about that.
Hmm.
Okay. I grew up in a household where you have a very short amount of time to say what you need to say, to be upset, and then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You move on quickly. You don't get to dwell on things. So for me, I feel like crying is like opening up and causing it to become more dragged out. Does that make sense?
It does, actually.
So like I'm wanting to get to the solution quicker,
mm-hmm.
by not involving like emotion.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is super fucked up. Like it's not a healthy coping mechanism. And I've been talking, or I have talked with my therapist in the past, because I haven't really been seeing my therapist for a while, which is bad, but and I should be going back. But there's something in me very deep rooted that correlates crying with weakness.
I see.
But the reason I like seeing you cry, and it's not that I like seeing you cry. It's so often in our society that a man is raised in the same way that I was, of saying like, be a man, mm-hmm. don't cry, like buck up kind of a situation. So to see that you're comfortable enough with me to let that guard down it's like another layer of love, I guess.
That's a good way to put it.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to say that a lot for this episode. Does that make sense? Because I'm really trying to think deeply about it. So does it bother you when you know that I'm going silent because I'm trying to hold back crying?
Yes. Yes, it does. Especially when it's at the end of the day and no solution has arose before we go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Like that happened last week, and it was awful because it transferred over to the next day.
Right.
Neither of us slept well, and I had still, like, the entire night long, I didn't know what was bothering you.
Right.
And then finally, the next day, I was able to tell you exactly what I just told you. It was just, you know, don't go to bed angry, as they say.
Yeah, which you are a big proponent of. Mm-hmm. You really don't like going to bed with unsettled business.
No.
Is there a reason behind that?
Because neither party sleeps well, and it's dragging out something that if you just spent 5 minutes on, could be resolved for the most part.
Yeah. And we've only had two fights like that in our relationship.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember what the first one was about, but it was at the old house, and I think you slept in the other room.
Yeah, it was about Bingley.
Oh, great. Yeah, that wasn't fun. No, and I would agree that for us, it's not healthy to have fights drag on through multiple days. You like, how long does a typical fight for us last?
A fight covers a very wide array of disagreements. If we're talking about the cream of the crop, like a big one, then it could maybe last a few hours.
Okay.
And that's being realistic.
And that's because we have the discussion and maybe we walk away from each other for a little bit and then we come back with a solution.
Yep.
Yeah. How would you grade our communication skills in the beginning of our relationship and now?
Maybe a C at the beginning, maybe a B plus now.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think we've definitely improved, but I think that there's always going to be room for improvement.
Yeah. Most of the time it's me going to a worst case scenario in my head instead of just addressing the problem head on. I usually just grumble and then walk away for an hour and do my own thing instead of saying, okay, here's how I actually felt. This is why I felt this way. I didn't mean to. Because we've had plenty of talks in the last month of me trying to better communicate why I felt things instantaneously instead of just walking away and building up something in my head, which makes it exponentially worse than what it could be.
Right. So from that C to B, where do you think the pivot happened? Or do you think it was like a gradual implementation of working on it?
It was absolutely gradual.
Yeah.
It was us doing exactly what we're saying of not just giving each other our own space, because that doesn't always help things. It doesn't get to the bottom of it if the issue needs to be talked about instead of just walking away from it and hoping it never arises again, because that's not always the best way.
Right. But sometimes we get in these arguments where it's like a never ending loop.
Oh, yeah.
Where we are just talking in circles.
Yeah.
And I mean, what do we do in that instance? Because a lot of times you feel like you're saying the same thing over and over again, but I'm still not maybe understanding, I guess. So how do we break out of that cycle?
By making sure each side is heard and you don't have to agree with the other side, but understanding why the other side feels that way.
And I think that's sometimes for my piece of it, when we're in those merry-go-round types of arguments, is that I have a hard time not giving in, because that's not what it's about, but coming to the solution that there is no solution at this time for this issue. Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
Yeah.
If it's not a detrimental decision and conversation to your life, it's okay sometimes to just say, okay, we're going to agree to disagree on this topic.
Yeah, which we haven't had to do very, very often at all.
No, I will say, though, that sometimes if I feel like maybe you're not fully understanding me, I'm like, okay, I'm not communicating this properly. I need to just let this go. Mm-hmm. Because the other thing we've been talking about really implementing is this going to matter in 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 days, five weeks, 5 years? And a lot of times it's not.
Yeah.
So it's not worth wasting the breath, the tears, and the angst on each other.
Totally right.
To continue to like pick at this scab, essentially. Mm-hmm. Are there any like boundary lines that you know that you don't cross when we're in these arguments?
Yeah. I try to use the Ten Commandments of debating. And the number one is ad hominem. Do not degrade somebody verbally, attacking their merit or bringing them down with like swear words.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's something I have vowed long ago to never do,
mm-hmm.
is swear at you and raise my voice.
Right.
Because it's just ineffective and you'll always regret it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember, I think we were even just joking around, and this was a long time ago. And I think maybe I was looking at my phone or something, and you asked me what I was doing, and jokingly I said, mind your goddamn business. Mm-hmm. And you were like, what? You mm-hmm. got so mad at me.
Yep.
And it was like that moment that I realized, okay, I can't talk to him like that, even in a joking manner, mm-hmm. that is a boundary line for you that I cannot cross.
Yep.
I think that talking ill about each other's family, if the other one is not already doing so, is a boundary line.
Mm-hmm.
So like if we're talking about a family, if I bring up a family member of mine that's giving me grief, you are allowed to not necessarily rag on that person, but agree with me and state some opinions that you are having about this situation. But if I'm not talking about it, that's a no-go.
Absolutely.
Like, you can't talk about my family
and
vice versa.
And even when you bring up things like that, it's in ill taste just be like, yeah, she was totally like that. It's like, whoa. Like, it's like the other side was waiting for one side to say something negative so they could jump in.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
I've been waiting for this.
Yeah, yeah. It's not good.
Yeah, and also I think like stepping outside of our relationship, when we see each other struggling with someone else, whether it be a family member or a friend or a coworker, that instead of piling on what the other person is saying and like fully agreeing with them, playing devil's advocate mm-hmm. in those situations to prep your partner for an uncomfortable conversation with that person is always so much better than saying, you know what, fuck that guy, like how dare he and blah blah blah. It's way better to be like a neutral ally in those situations, and I think that's a good practice because it also helps you with the arguments that you're having in your relationship.
Yeah, and we resort to that a lot,
mm-hmm.
like seeing what the other side would say in that situation.
Absolutely. Anytime that I know I'm going to have a hard phone call or a face-to-face, anything, I'll say, okay, I got to talk to this person about X,
mm-hmm.
and I'll kind of run through the scenario with you. And it really does help me prep
mm-hmm.
for those hard conversations.
Oh, yeah.
Seeing as how we gave our communication in arguments a B, what are some things that you feel like we could improve on collectively when we're faced with those challenges?
For me, it's getting to the root of it faster, like I mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're asking for any
feedback, absolutely.
Feedback, it would be going back to what we said earlier of don't hide it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't shell up when I'm not attacking you, but I'm really trying to pull it out of you of what did I do? What did you interpret it as? What's the root of that problem, and how can I be better next time or even in the moment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would definitely echo everything that you just said.
Yeah.
I think for me, I need to be better about like not clamming up because I'm crying.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a habit of turning away from you as well when I'm getting emotional, mm-hmm. and I need to stop doing that because not only am I mentally kind of closing myself off, I'm physically closing myself off from you, which is, it's one thing to walk away and ask for space, but it's another for me to be standing in the kitchen and to turn my back to you and still attempt to talk to you. It doesn't make any sense that I do that.
It's your instinct kicking in.
Yeah. And also same for what you said for yourself of trying to slow down the burn
mm-hmm.
of what is sparking anger within you.
Yeah.
I really have to give commend you, especially this last really 2 months. You've really been working hard at that, and I see it, and I know that it's not easy.
Yeah,
and you've been doing a really good job.
It's so hard.
But I think that you're doing a great job.
Well, thank you.
And I know that that's a challenge, but you're doing great, sweetie.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate you. That's also something else too, is that I find when I sense you getting frustrated, if it's something that I may have caused and you're having to do something for me, that I need to be really vocal on my appreciation for you, because I feel so often that I don't do that as much as I should. I only say it when I think you're mad at me, of like saying like, I appreciate you doing that for me. I should be saying that kind of stuff all the time, so that you hear it constantly, rather than you only hear me say it when you're upset with me. Does that make sense?
It does, because I very much try to vocalize any time you do something for me.
Right.
Oftentimes it's dinner or cleaning the house or running errands, countless number of things.
Right.
It's because in that moment I'm very much appreciative, because you eased that, you took that off my plate.
Right, right. And I need to get better at doing that.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. The other thing that I would like to say that I've been working on, but I haven't, because I do it all the time and I know it bugs the shit out of you, is when you're getting frustrated and I know you're upset about something and I just want to know what it is. What do I do?
Is there anything I can do for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything I can do for you? Are you okay? Do you want to talk about it? I'm like in your grill.
Well,
I say that I'm working on it, but I'm really not actively trying to do anything about it, because in the moment I'm so concerned about you and how you're feeling that I just want to like take it away from you.
Right. But usually the only time it frustrates me is because I am in the moment, like I'm currently doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You say, is there anything I can do for you? And in my mind, I want to say, yeah, this.
This morning with the trash, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It was just something that had to be done. And like we talked about, is it going to matter in 5 minutes, in 5 days?
Right.
No.
However, I will say that if you tell me, let's just use the trash as an example. So on Monday mornings, the trash comes fairly early.
It does now.
So, yeah. So in weeks past, on Sunday night, as we're going to bed, you'll say, can you help me with the trash in the morning? And then I'll just help you immediately in the morning when I know you're going down there to do it. Because I'm not thinking about it, which maybe that's the root of the problem, is I'm not thinking about stuff like that, and I should be. But I realize I'm asking you to do more, but if you say to me, hey, could you help me with this thing? I would really appreciate it.
Well,
9 out of 10 times I'm going to say yes.
I know, but it was circumstantial. It was just how it played out. You were cozy this morning. You weren't quite ready to get up. So I was like, okay, it's just trash. I can do it.
It was snoring.
Yes, and it was miserable outside, which is why I looked frustrated. I had to take multiple trips up there and about busted my butt a couple times.
Oh, no.
It's okay.
Are you okay?
I am fine.
Okay.
I'm fine.
Did you put a crack in your ass? Hey.
I already have one.
Yeah, I know.
Is that what people say? Has anyone ever asked you, did you put a crack in your ass?
No, there's like a dad joke about that, and I don't know what it is. And I could attempt to say it, but I would butcher it. I don't remember what it is.
That's probably best.
I feel like that was good.
It was good.
We're fairly open in our communication, hence we have a podcast that we talk about literally everything in our relationship.
Everything.
But did you gain any insight maybe today? Or this was kind of just a refresher of things you already know.
It was. And this was us putting the way we deal with these situations out there, hoping that if you're running into any of these obstacles, even if it's just taking up a little thing we do here and there, you know, if it helps you, great. And we just wanted to tell you how we deal with those tough times and the times that we don't always have it figured out.
Yeah, which is a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
We will never, I don't think it's fair when couples say, we never fight.
That's so ignorant to say.
And even if you are the 0.01% of couples that don't get into arguments ever, don't say that to your friends and family.
Agreed.
Because it makes people feel like shit.
Agreed.
Because most normal people, they get into fights. But it makes relationships stronger because you're finding things that are broken and need to be mended, and you're building a stronger foundation based on communication.
That's right. She's giving you a thumbs up, folks. Well, and it also takes a level of consciousness to look in that mirror and say, how can we improve upon this?
For sure.
And not everybody does that. And luckily, we are able to improve upon ourselves because I want to be better for you and our relationship.
Well, and I think it's a good opportunity to have discussions like this because we're not in the throes of an argument right now. Mm-mm. So, like, if we were arguing and you said, you need to be better at doing this,
right,
communicating with me or not, or like being scared to cry in front of me, in the throes of an argument, I'm not going to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great to have conversations about fighting fair when you're not in the middle of it.
Totally.
Because then the person is able to really hear and actively listen to what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Instead of putting up your defense mode.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, thanks for coming.
Thanks for the listen. Thank you for the download.
Yeah. Hope you're staying warm out there. I know that this week there's a snowstorm for a good chunk of the country. So stay warm. Unless you're on the West Coast, then go to the beach and don't send pictures to your friends and family on the East Coast.
Avoid the jealousy that will ensue.
Because that'll start a fight.
Yep.
Anyways.
Yes, it will.
Hey, look at us. Wait, the look at us, though. We are in season 2, episode I don't even know what of our podcast.
Yeah.
Look at us. Who would have thought?
I would have. I definitely thought.
Well, yeah, that's because you have all this fancy setup in a studio and crap.
No, because I've got the talent in front of me.
Well.
She's blushing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love you.
I love you.